James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Did you know that the radical left has embarked on a new campaign to hijack our constitutional form of government?
Biden's executive overreach undermines the Constitution, but the Democrats want even more than that. They want to pack the Supreme Court with at least four more justices so they could have a 7-6 majority.
You'll discover one of the greatest current threats to our constitutional system, and we'll give you an opportunity to do something about it on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Since at least the 1960s, and perhaps longer, the United States Supreme Court has been the unelected manipulator of our culture, imposing the political will of a bare majority of its members on the entire nation by fiat. Most of the enormous cultural battles, from abortion to the edicts of political correctness, find their birth in the court's unconstitutional meddling. But after President Trump turned the tide by nominating and having confirmed three Supreme Court justices who believe in the original meaning of the Constitution, the radicals of the left now want to hijack the court by any means necessary to do their bidding once again. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
On January 22, 1973, seven men wearing black robes changed American history by giving us, effectively, abortion on demand. A brand new movie tells the backstory of the Supreme Court's most controversial decision and how it was not based on the Constitution.
We will hear arguments in Roe against Wade. You may proceed.
If you really want to know how abortion became legal in our country, I will tell you the true story. I wanted to get abortion legalized across the country.
We're looking for a pregnant girl to challenge the abortion laws.
We'll give her a pseudonym. Call her Jane Roe.
It's genius. That way no one will ever know about her past.
First, they came after the Jews. And then they came after the mentally deficient. We did nothing. And now they're coming after the unborn. And so you're going to do nothing?
Robert Byrd for Henry Wade.
No judge or jury in their right mind would ever let abortion happen in Texas.
Roe v. Wade has so far resulted in the deliberate killing of 60 million plus unborn babies in America, all from one court decision. This is an example of how the Supreme Court has changed the American landscape away from the original intent of the Constitution. Controversy over who sits on the bench is not new. Critics note that for too long, many judges have engaged in what is known as judicial activism, which means judges making laws from the bench rather than simply adjudicating.
Their job is not to create the law. Their job is to interpret the law as it has already been written by that other branch of government known as the legislative branch. What we're seeing now is in a world that's postmodern, who believes in situational ethics, who believes, for all intents and purposes, that you make it up as you go along, you can render a political decision as opposed to being bound by the law.
It's very important as to who's sitting on the Supreme Court. Their worldview matters tremendously to our day-to-day lives in the United States. Not only the United States, but around the world, because the United States is a leader for the world.
Now, one can amend the Constitution. You can change the Constitution. But until that's amended, that thing is a sacred document. And that's their job to uphold that.
The reason why social issues are so contentious in the United States is because the Supreme Court has weighed in and put a thumb on the scale, you could say, on the side of a more liberal view, an anti-religious freedom view, for too long.
But President Trump was able to get three mostly conservative justices on the Supreme Court, changing the balance of the power of the court. Before she was vice president, when she was a senator from California, Kamala Harris had this reaction to one of Trump's judicial picks.
We're looking at a destruction of the Constitution of the United States, as far as I can tell, based on all of the folks that he's been appointing thus far for lifetime appointments.
President Trump has appointed over 200 judges to not only the Supreme Court, but over 50 to the federal courts of appeal and the balance to the federal district court. It's the best group of politically appointed judges ever. He surprised me, frankly. I thought he would be like other Republican presidents and, you know, do better than the Democrats. But he has listened to good people. He has applied good tests. And there's just a terrific group of justices that have, and judges that have been appointed by President Trump.
But now, some on the left have concocted a new scheme to try and prevent the Supreme Court from possibly ruling against the sacred cow of Roe v. Wade.
Most of the mainstream Democrats today have gone on the record as saying their plan is to change the number of judges on the United States Supreme Court from 9 to 15, because the number is not specified in the Constitution. It's only been this way since the middle of the 19th century. But the idea is to pack it with another six liberal judges.
This scheme of the left is known as court packing.
Court packing is when the party in power uses its power to add enough justices to the Supreme Court in order to get to the political decisions they want to occur. And so people think it's a bad idea in general because they think, well, that seems kind of abusive and it seems like you're going to add, you're going to go from one direction to the other.
Trying to pack the court in our days is not the first time it was attempted in American history.
In 1937, FDR, a very popular president, tried this. He felt like the justices were getting in the way of his New Deal legislation. And even though the Democrats had huge percentages, 80 out of the 100 senators were Democrats, the country, when they realized what this was, they rose up. They were averaging 1,000 letters a day in senators' offices in 1937. And the people, his own party, stood up and stopped it.
Some legal experts note that this is not politics as usual. Court packing has the strong possibility of plunging the country into a form of tyranny.
And it's actually much more dangerous than people know. Venezuela did this. This is why Venezuela lost its country. Argentina, Chile. You can look around the world. When you do this, your country is usually over. Because you've just taken your judiciary and you placed it under the political branch. And so the independent judiciary is gone, the rule of law is gone. Really, your rights are gone because the only rights you have are the rights that the majority party wishes you to keep, because they can add however many justices they need to get to the political decisions they wish. So it's a very dangerous thing.
In essence, the Supreme Court becomes the puppet of the other two branches. And that would greatly reduce the trust and integrity of our system of government. With that loss of trust and integrity and the respect for the Constitution and certainty of respect for the Constitution, you're going to have a tremendous economic impact with trillions of dollars in the long run no longer being invested in the United States, but being invested in countries that do have greater stability and reliance on the law, not on political power games that would be inherently result if court packing became the new norm.
A major push to try and pack the court in our day is to ensure, for example, that abortion rights remain secure. The left, it seems, will often pull out all the stops to secure such rights, as we saw in the disruptions and arrests during the 2018 Kavanaugh hearings.
Abortion has become the symbol of the extreme role of the Supreme Court to rule on our day-to-day lives and to even insert itself in places that the Supreme Court should not be inserting itself. And so there are many other contentious issues that the Supreme Court deals with. But abortion seems to be a compilation of all of them.
Perhaps this is beyond the authority of the Supreme Court.
We are the law of the land.
We need to get the courts back into their proper role, and they have so far gone across their proper role that it's going to take a lot to return them to where they need to be.
The miracle of America is our constitutional form of government. One nation under God, and the whole concept of we the people, which is a covenant, is such a wonderful word, covenant, citizen to citizen with God to follow certain practices. And so that's kind of my commitment in life, is to realize that we believe that God governs in the affairs of men. When we lose that belief, we lose a lot about what our country is about, that our Creator gave us rights. We covenant with each other to form a government to protect those rights. Government did not create the Constitution. We the people did.
The radical left is constantly scheming to take away our rights and liberties. One of their latest ploys is an attempt to pack the United States Supreme Court with extreme leftist judges. We must oppose this dangerous threat to our freedoms that would change America as we know it. That's why we are asking you to join with us and sign your demand letter to tell your senators that you stand with D. James Kennedy Ministries in staunch opposition to any effort to expand the Supreme Court of the United States. Contact us to get your petitions, sign them, and then send them back to us right away. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Stand with us today to speak the truth, warn our nation, and help stop this tyrannical pursuit of the left.
For many decades, the United States Supreme Court was on a mission to secularize America. In contradiction of our founding fathers and of our governing documents, the unelected justices of the court began to impose what they called a wall of separation between the church and the state. Starting in 1947, the court unilaterally began carving out two realms that it argued were never to interact. This would have been unimaginable to the founders, who wrote the First Amendment to protect the church from the government, and not vice versa. Instead, the founders believed that respect for God was absolutely necessary to the flourishing of America. Dr. D. James Kennedy sheds light on our true history, which is wildly at variance with the leftist marching orders of Supreme Court justices from Hugo Black to Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I would like to speak to you today not only on the building of a Christian nation, but also the rebuilding of the same. For there's no doubt in the mind of anyone who has studied historically the issue that our forefathers built a Christian nation. But we have been involved in the last 50 years, particularly with those who have worked assiduously to tear it down, to destroy the foundations. And now there is a renewed interest and desire on the part of many millions in this country to see it rebuilt again. Let me tell you something that I feel confident that most of you don't know. In 1776, there was not anywhere on this planet a secular nation. Prior to 1776, throughout the history of the whole planet, there had never been such a creature as a secular nation. It had never existed. The first one came about just a few years after our revolution, in the revolution in France. Our revolution was based upon God, theirs was based upon humanistic atheism, and in their revolution, it ended up with blood running in the streets, tens of thousands of people were guillotined, and the whole thing was a gigantic disaster. And the founders of our country could not have imagined anything even vaguely close to that. In fact, when they discovered what was happening in France a few years later, they were appalled. It was abhorrent to them. America was founded by people who loved God and trusted in the divine grace of Jesus Christ and desired most of all to make him known to others. We don't have to rely on somebody's opinion. We can hear it right from themselves. As you may know, William Brantford was the historian and governor of Plymouth Plantation. He wrote the only history of the time. He's the only source. He was governor for decades. And he said that before they even left England, they wrote these words. They came here and founded this colony with a, quote, great hope and inward zeal they had of laying some good foundation, or at least to make some way thereunto, for the propagation and advancing of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ in those remote parts of the world. Yea, though they should be but even as stepping stones unto others for the performance of so great a work. That's why they came, because of an inward zeal and a great hope of propagating the far ends of the earth with the gospel. But then when the pilgrims actually arrived here, as you know, before they set foot on the land, they met in the captain's cabin of the Mayflower and wrote what has been called the birth certificate of America, the Mayflower Compact. And how does the Mayflower Compact begin? Seeing that we need to set up some kind of a secular organization here to run this thing, No, that's not what they said. They said, in the name of God, amen. That's how America began. Continuing with these words. Give them a hand. Thank you. Again, they tell us exactly why they have arrived on these shores. Quote, having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. Having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, that is why they came, and that is what they did. They advanced the Christian faith. And this continued throughout all of that period. And if we go forward, we can come to the end of the 19th century when there was a great trial before the Supreme Court. It's called the Trinity Decision. And they said this, quote, these references in a volume of unofficial declarations add to the mass of organic utterance that this is a religious people, this is a Christian nation. Supreme Court of the United States, unanimously, 1892, the Trinity Decision. So this is indeed a Christian nation. These and hundreds of other references would point that out. I read the constitutions of all 50 of our states. I read the inaugural addresses of all of our presidents. All of them, without exception, reference God. It's all about God. That's what politics ultimately is. That's what these people believed it was. In the name of God, for the glory of God, for the advancement of His kingdom. That's why they came. That's not why most Americans vote. And that's not how they vote. But if you want to see this nation transformed, you begin to see God in the voting booth with you. And God will change this nation.
As you just saw in today's program, the Supreme Court has been used as a tool of the left to force the secularization of our nation and to foist a libertine morality upon America. The court has rewritten America's history, postulating a godless government where the founders actually established a government based on God-given rights. And now, having lost their majority on the court, the left is scheming to reclaim it. President Biden has established a left-leaning panel to study the Supreme Court. But don't be fooled. This is just another leftist court-packing effort. The phrase pack the court simply means overriding the current conservative majority by expanding the number of justices and then appointing only left-leaning jurists until a leftist majority is achieved. Dear friends, this is a breathtaking effort to undo more than 230 years of constitutional governments, literally destroying the separation of powers and the checks and balances enshrined in our Constitution. This would make a mockery of justice, as well as of government of, by, and for the people. We cannot let them do that. The power to stop this shameful and bald-faced power grab is actually in your hands. We have created a petition to your two United States senators calling upon them to stand firmly against any effort to expand the Supreme Court. Please contact us right away to get your petitions, sign them, and then send them back to us. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. The long-standing project of revising history and removing us from our foundations is part and parcel of the strategy of the radical left to gain power and to foster a sense of guilt and remorse where there ought to be pride and patriotism. Perhaps the most notable recent example is the Pulitzer Prize-winning 1619 Project from the New York Times. This project, steeped in Marxist critical race theory, makes the historically ridiculous claim that America was founded for the purpose of furthering so-called white supremacy, and that America's real founding was in 1619 when the first African slaves arrived on American shores. This account is, to use the technical term, historical bunkum. President Trump established the 1776 Commission to counter these fictional broadsides with a true account of American history. Yet, on his very first day in office, Joe Biden abolished the 1776 Commission, but a little too late. It was not before they completed their report, which completely dispels the fanciful and fictitious narrative invented by the likes of the New York Times. But we have published an edition of the 1776 Commission's full report, and we will send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to the work of this ministry. This prestigious commission featured Dr. Larry Arne of Hillsdale College and former Vanderbilt and Princeton professor Dr. Carol Swain, among others. And to put it bluntly, President Biden does not want you to read this report, which celebrates America. But despite his attempt to quash the work of the 1776 Commission, we have published the full report and will send it to you right away as our thanks for your generous ministry gift. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. For decades now, the left studiously avoided the legislative process on controversial issues, instead relying upon the unelected judiciary to do their bidding. For example, without a single vote being cast by the American people, and without debate or deliberation by the representatives of we the people, the Supreme Court imposed abortion on demand and same-sex marriage as law throughout the nation. But when more than 50 years of leftist domination of the Supreme Court was broken by President Trump's 3 confirmed appointments to the court, the left erupted. Now that the court no longer carries water for the extremist leftist agenda, the fevered emanations from the swamp now decry the court, calling for its radical makeover. Among the proposals being considered to nullify the court's current conservative majority is court packing. This is the long discredited and, quite frankly, deeply fascist idea of expanding the number of justices on the Supreme Court to gain an ideological edge. Even one of America's most popular presidents, Franklin Roosevelt, was widely rebuked by his own supporters for contemplating such a step. But that historical precedent is no impediment to the modern leftists who insist that the high court must be brought to heel. From the leftist perspective, it's far easier to pirate fellow travelers onto the court to do its bidding than to attempt the more arduous and legitimate political work of building consensus and convincing people. But within this debate, there exists a gem of constitutional reformation and revival. Listen, what if both sides agreed that the legal, political, and cultural fate of the nation should not be in the hands of a relative handful of unelected judges? What if we instead returned the making of law to the elected representatives of the people? The left pays continual lip service to democracy, but it seems they are actually afraid of it, preferring to be ruled by a black-robed oligarchy. If those on the left actually cared about democracy, they would join with those on the right and stand against fiat rule by unelected judges. The founders' vision was a judiciary that refereed disputes about the law, not the unilateral determinant of law and culture. I wonder what the left has to fear in that idea. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for being with us. And here's a look at the next truths that transform.
Title IX has been flipped. Title IX absolutely requires separate, safe, and private spaces for young men and young women. In fact, Title IX was enacted to give girls a fair shake in athletics, in schooling, in academics, and so on and so forth. And what we're seeing is a complete reversal.
That's next week. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.